Welcome to Nowracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and joining me, as always, is my co-host.
Hey, everyone. Great to be here.
Today, we are looking at some massive tectonic shifts in the AI and quantum computing landscapes. Google's internal timelines for quantum decryption just took a sharp left turn, and it is entirely thanks to AI-driven discovery pipelines.
And speaking of massive shifts, we have got new numbers on the AI infrastructure boom. We are talking about hundreds of billions of dollars in CapEx as the tech giants race to build inference-optimized AI factories. The scale of this spending is unlike anything we have seen in modern tech history.
We will also dig into Simon Willison's latest thoughts on developer workflows. He's pointing out that the casual, experimental practice of vibe coding is suddenly bleeding into serious, production-grade agentic engineering, and it is raising some major red flags about code ownership.
Plus, we have a packed roundup today covering Microsoft's new human-agent collaboration playbook, Valve opening up their Steam controller designs to the 3D printing community, and a surprising nod for SQLite from the Library of Congress.
There is a lot of ground to cover today. Let's get right into it. Our first story today is an absolute wake-up call for anyone working in cybersecurity, infrastructure, or really just anyone who relies on the internet being secure. The timeline for when quantum computers might be able to break standard encryption is shrinking rapidly, and the catalyst is artificial intelligence. According to recent research from Google and a startup called Oratomic, AI-driven discovery pipelines are significantly accelerating the development of viable quantum computers.
Yeah, this is a fascinating convergence. For a long time, AI and quantum computing were these two parallel hype tracks. You had the AI folks scaling up neural networks, and the quantum physicists trying to keep a dozen qubits stable in a supercooled fridge. But what we are seeing now, in 2026, is that they are merging into a unified stack. AI is actually being used to automate the really tedious and fragile parts of quantum systems. We're talking about things like compilation, system calibration, and crucially, error correction.
And error correction is the holy grail here, right? Because qubits are incredibly susceptible to environmental noise. Even a slight temperature fluctuation can cause them to lose their quantum state. What this research indicates is that AI models can predict and compensate for these errors much faster than traditional algorithmic approaches, which helps shift quantum computing from these highly fragile laboratory demonstrations into something that can execute repeatedly and reliably.
Exactly. And the implications of that reliability are immediate and severe. Google has actually advanced its internal timeline for migrating to quantum-safe encryption. They were previously aligned with the NIST deadline, which had the industry targeting 2035 for a full transition, but Google has moved that internal target all the way up to 2029.
2029 is right around the corner. When a hyperscaler like Google pulls a cryptographic deadline forward by 6 full years, you have to pay attention. It means they're seeing internal laboratory results that make them genuinely worried about the harvest now, decrypt later threat.
For our listeners who might not be familiar with that term, harvest now, decrypt later refers to the practice where adversarial nation states or malicious actors scoop up massive amounts of encrypted data today, financial records, state secrets, health data, and just store it. They can't read it now, but they are betting that by 2029, they'll have a quantum computer capable of cracking the RSA encryption, at which point all that historical data becomes an open book.
And we have to look at the market numbers backing up this acceleration. The quantum AI market is projected to hit roughly $638 million this year. That is a significant jump from about $473 million in 2025. The capital is flowing because the milestones are suddenly looking achievable.
Right. But we should also add a critical caveat here. The specific AI quantum research findings driving some of this accelerated timeline are not fully peer-reviewed yet, and they do rely on some untested assumptions about how well these AI error correction models will scale as you add hundreds or thousands of logical qubits. So there is a bit of debate in the academic community about whether 2029 is a realistic hard deadline or just Google being extremely risk-averse.
Risk-averse is probably the right posture when we are talking about the foundational encryption of the global internet. If you're an enterprise CISO, you can't really afford to wait for the peer review to clear if the downside is total exposure of your entire corporate history.
True. The massive challenge here is that migrating legacy encryption systems is a multi-year headache. You have to audit every single piece of software, every database, every communication protocol to swap out the encryption algorithms. Balancing the excitement of these AI-accelerated quantum breakthroughs against the sheer operational drag of overhauling your security posture is going to be the defining IT challenge of the next 3 years.
And it really highlights a broader theme we keep coming back to. AI isn't just a software layer anymore. It is a fundamental tool that is altering hardware development timelines across the board.
Speaking of massive hardware shifts, let's talk about the AI infrastructure boom. The Information has a deep dive into the sheer scale of capital expenditure happening right now, and the numbers are frankly staggering. Global tech giants are projected to spend between $650 billion and $830 billion on AI infrastructure just in 2026.
To put that $830 billion figure in perspective, we are talking about corporate spending that rivals major historical government projects. We're in the territory of the Apollo program or the construction of the interstate highway system, but funded entirely by private tech companies in a single year. And the market for AI infrastructure is expected to reach $758 billion in annual spending by 2029.
The hyperscalers, Microsoft, Google, Meta, and Amazon, have massively increased their CapEx guidance for this year. Some of these companies are seeing year-over-year growth in capital expenditures exceeding 100%. They are essentially plowing every available dollar back into physical infrastructure.
What's really interesting is where that money is actually going. Initially, the boom was all about GPU-heavy training clusters. Everyone was just trying to buy as many chips as possible to build the biggest supercomputer to train the next frontier model. But now, the industry focus has shifted toward what they're calling AI factories that are optimized for inference and efficiency.
Right. It's the shift from R&D to production. Training a massive language model is a one-time, massive sink of compute. But running it for millions of users, generating the tokens, answering the queries, that's inference, and it is a continuous scaling cost. So we're seeing a shift in demand from general-purpose GPUs toward custom ASICs and specialized silicon that can handle inference workloads much more efficiently.
But this raises a monumental question about sustainability. Is this pace of investment actually justified by the revenue? If you are spending $800 billion on data centers, advanced cooling systems, power grids, and networking equipment, you need an incredible amount of AI software revenue to materialize just to break even, let alone turn a profit.
That is the multi-hundred billion dollar question right now. Critics are starting to argue that enterprise adoption, while definitely growing, isn't yet generating the kind of return on investment that justifies this level of CapEx. If the software revenue doesn't catch up, we could be looking at a massive speculative bubble.
On the flip side, the hyperscalers argue that if they underinvest and miss this platform shift, they lose their entire competitive moat. It's an existential arms race. They would rather overbuild and have excess capacity than be the one cloud provider who can't serve the next generation of AI applications.
And they are running into severe physical bottlenecks. It is not just about buying chips anymore. There are acute shortages in power availability. You can have all the capital in the world, but if you can't get a utility company to allocate a gigawatt of power to your site, you can't plug in your AI factory.
Exactly. And it's not just power. There's a massive labor shortage for the specialized trades needed to build these facilities. People who know how to install industrial-scale liquid cooling systems, high-voltage electricians, data center architects.
It's entirely possible that the physical constraints of the power grid and the labor market might actually be the thing that cools this boom down, rather than any pullback in ambition from the tech giants themselves. Let's move from the physical hardware to how developers are actually writing software on top of it. Simon Willison recently published a piece titled, "Vibe Coding and Agentic Engineering Are Getting Closer Than I'd Like," and it is striking a major chord in the developer community. For some context, vibe coding is a term that Andre Karpathy coined back in February 2025. It describes this very casual, almost playful approach to software development, where you just describe what you want in natural language, the AI generates the code, and you basically accept it with minimal review. You're just vibing with the model to get an app working.
Right. And you contrast that with agentic engineering, which Willison defines as a highly structured, professional discipline. That's where AI agents are orchestrated to plan, write, test, and ship code, but under very strict, structured human oversight and rigorous methodologies.
The tension Willison is pointing out is that these two worlds are rapidly colliding. Over the last year, AI coding agents have become remarkably reliable. And Willison admits that even in his own professional work, building data journalism tools and open source libraries, he is reviewing less and less of the code the agents generate. The lines between a casual vibe session and professional engineering are blurring.
Which is a bit terrifying if you think about long-term accountability. Vibe coding was supposed to be for weekend prototypes or quick scripts, and agentic engineering was for production-grade software. But if experienced engineers are starting to trust the AI enough to skip line-by-line verification, what happens to code ownership?
That is exactly Willison's concern. If professional engineers stop reading the code, we are fundamentally lowering our standards for what constitutes engineering. You lose the mental model of the code base. When a complex, subtle bug surfaces 6 months down the line in production, no human actually understands how that system was constructed or why certain architectural choices were made.
The counterargument, of course, is that we don't read the assembly code generated by our compilers either. As our tools abstract away the lower levels of implementation, the developer's job shifts to setting up the right guardrails. Instead of reading every line of logic, you write incredibly comprehensive test suites. The test suite becomes the source of truth, and you just let the AI churn until the tests pass.
Sure, that's the ideal scenario, but a compiler is deterministic. An LLM is probabilistic. A compiler won't subtly hallucinate a business logic error because it got confused by a variable name that sounded like a different concept. If vibe coding is becoming a legitimate professional tool, the industry desperately needs better verification mechanisms that don't rely on humans reading every line. Because clearly, human developers are already stopping.
It's a fascinating behavioral shift. The tools got just good enough that the cognitive friction of reading the generated code outweighed the perceived risk of just ignoring it and hitting deploy. It will be very interesting to see what kind of catastrophic AI-generated production bug it takes to swing the pendulum back toward rigorous manual review.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up.
Sounds good. We've got a mix of corporate AI trends, open source hardware, and a surprising nod for a database engine.
Microsoft just released a new work trend index highlighting a massive 15x year-over-year increase in active AI agents on Microsoft 365, and that jumps to 18x in large enterprises. They've identified four distinct patterns of human agent collaboration: author, editor, director, and orchestrator. Sticking with workplace dynamics, a provocative piece on noonehappy.com argues that generative AI is creating a severe conduit problem. Workers are using AI to generate expert-looking output in domains where they actually lack training, just to satisfy corporate metrics for volume.
It is the ultimate evolution of performative productivity. The author points out that institutional incentives often prioritize the appearance of momentum over actual quality. AI just lets you automate the bloat, which ends up creating massive productivity bottlenecks for the few remaining employees who still have to manually review and verify all this AI-generated content for accuracy.
In archiving news, the U.S. Library of Congress has officially listed SQLite as a recommended storage format for the long-term preservation of digital datasets. Evaluating it on criteria like transparency, self-documentation, and lack of external dependencies.
This is a huge validation for the data lives longer than code philosophy. Because SQLite is a serverless, self-contained, and public domain database engine, archivists trust it to remain readable decades or even centuries from now. It really proves that a tool built for active software development can also be the gold standard for institutional digital archiving.
Valve has officially released the CAD files, including STP, STL, and engineering drawings for the external shell of their new Steam controller and its puck. They put it under a Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 license, which allows for non-commercial community use, as long as there's attribution.
It's a very smart move to foster a DIY ecosystem, especially since the new controller sold out so rapidly. They are letting the community 3D print custom shells and grips.
They did explicitly warn that modifications void the warranty and could cause damage, so expect a wave of broken controllers from over-enthusiastic hardware modders. Finally, an interesting GitHub issue for Claude Code is requesting a side-by-side diff view for file editing prompts. Currently, the agent uses a stacked unified diff when proposing a file change, which users say is just too hard to scan for long lines or complex refactors.
This ties right back into our discussion about Simon Willison and vibe coding. If we want developers to actually review AI-generated code rather than just blindly accepting it, the UI tooling needs to mature. Giving developers a granular, side-by-side view with character-level highlights is exactly the kind of UX improvement necessary to safely audit autonomous agents.
That is all the time we have for today's briefing.
Thanks for listening. If you're enjoying the show, consider leaving us a review or sharing it with a colleague. It really helps us grow the podcast.
We will be back tomorrow with more deep dives into the tech shaping our future. Until then, keep an eye on your agents and make sure you're actually reading those pull requests.
See you next time.